everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve.
Lawrence.
No, no. That's Dr. fine.
Lawrence,
you go. Van Beek. You're Lawrence Van Beek. That actually is a great way to start, too.
It was good.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
It was appropriate.
I don't think so.
You know, Paul's going to sail to Rome. I mean, you know.
Yes, Rome if you want to, so to speak.
Rome.
And remember we talked about this? Who sang that? Rome if you want to?
Oh, yeah.
It's the B-52s, right?
The B-52s. Yeah.
Yep. But do you want to give this any introduction? We're going to read the last two chapters of Acts here, folks. So it's Acts 27, 28, right?
So. It's almost weird that Luke has so much to say about this, and there's so little that actually happens here. You know, like, I know people pull a lot of allegorical things out of this, but actual things, I think because Luke was with him on the boat that he had a lot to say.
It's like, well, day four.
I was once listening to a pilot who talked about, I think, three or four plane crashes that he had had in his life. And I said to the person with me, the only thing I've really taken from this is that we should never fly with this guy. And maybe that's what Luke was thinking about Paul by this point.
Yeah, yeah. No offense, but you're the opposite of a rabbit's foot.
and Paul is just harsh. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, you'll see this as we go along. I was quite surprised at how mean-spirited he was.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can't say that because he's not mean-spirited. He was extolling to them what God had wanted them to hear. I'm sure that's the way we need to say it.
Okay, fair enough. That way to upsize it, way to upsell it.
Yeah.
So stop me wherever you want, buddy, and I'll just start reading.
Yeah.
Folks, starting chapter 27, verse 1, we're going to know the ESV for those of you scoring at home. When it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius, and embarking upon a ship, which was about to sail to
Andromedium.
Andromedium, sure.
It sounds like a metal loft starter.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we just discovered the Andromedium.
We have to go down and collect Andromedium from that.
Yes,
planet.
It was hiding underneath the copper. Didn't you see it there? Oh yeah, completely. I missed it.
It will run our warp engines.
Right beside the Folger's crystal. Anyway, if you got all those jokes, you're older than we are. Which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia. We put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and to be cared for, which is ironic, right? He's a prisoner, and he's like, go see your friends.
Yeah, go.
And putting out to sea, there we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And when
I'm still trying to work Orange Julius into this. I haven't been able to.
Okay, yeah, I think you can do it. Don't worry.
Okay.
I have faith in you. And when we sailed across the open sea along the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not bad. We came to Myra in Lycia. Wow. Yeah. There, the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us aboard. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Sindus?
Yep.
Yeah. And as the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete off of Salamon. Coasting along with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia.
That's tough, eh? That's tough stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing here that you can take from this is that this Julius has an incredible amount of authority. Like,
yeah.
he lets Paul go. He also just, I don't know if they give him a bunch of cash to begin with and say, you know, here's a whole bunch of drachma. Get him on some ship and get him to Rome.
Yeah. You wonder, right?
Yeah. Or does he say, hey, I'm a centurion. Just charge it to the boss. Like, I'm not sure of the financial arrangements that happen here.
Caesar will square up with you later, if you know what I mean.
After all, his face is on the coin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or like, did he haul out a piece of paper that says, you're going to do this, or I'm going to take the ship anyway. So, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, you know, like, you know, the mafia came from this part of the world.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
but it is kind of intriguing, eh? And being Canadian, that they sailed under the lee of Cyprus. And I'm pretty sure this is the same Cyprus where we have peacekeeping soldiers.
That's true. We do. Yeah. We do to this day. They're still keeping the Turks and the Cypriots apart.
Yeah. I didn't know that part of it. I knew it was Turks, but what's the other?
They call themselves Cypriots.
Cypriots.
Yeah, which they're of Greek origin, right? So.
Yeah.
Picking up verse 9. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of cargo in the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both the southwest and the northwest.
It's sort of intriguing, isn't it, that that Paul says, like, don't go. And Luke thinks that the ship should have listened to Paul, but he's just a prisoner.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for them to listen. Yeah. Now, after the fast, that means this is after the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
And this will be toward the end of September. The Day of Atonement runs the third week of September to the first week of October in that area. It varies a little bit like the Easter thing, you know. It varies from year to year.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's how that works.
It's moving through the calendar. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and they were trying to get to this harbor to spend the winter.
Well, there. Phoenix. Everybody goes to Phoenix in the winter.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's where all the snowbirds go.
It's quite appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, so picking it up at verse 13.
Now, there's got to be the word Winnebago in here somewhere, I think.
Yes.
They took the Winnebago.
Yes. And when they stopped at the old folks' RV park.
That's when the storm comes.
That's when the storm came. Which actually, I have a theory that actually all tornadoes start in like mobile home parks. But anyway, that's a different story. Anyway, I digress. Verse 13. Now when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster, struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, they gave way to it and were driven along, running under the lee of a small island called Kadua. We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used the supports. They used supports to undergird the ship. This would be them running ropes around, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Satyrus, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned.
Yeah, so big storm coming. And this is where Paul, listen to what he has to say to them.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I know. Doesn't it sound like the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah. Gordon Lightfoot comes out and sings a song. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not set sail from Crete, you idiots, and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship." Oh, there are some interesting things. Uh-huh. "And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all of those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island.'"
Yeah. So Paul, he just, first of all, he's quite rude to them.
Right.
You know, like, I told you not to go. You should have listened to me.
You idiots.
Yeah. What were you thinking? I already told you this.
Yeah.
And then he says, an angel came to me. And these guys are all superstitious.
Yep.
Right? Because they don't believe in Paul's God. They don't believe in in but, you know, an angel appeared to me. Okay, we're in. We're in. And they're grasping at anything that's going to save them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like hockey players, you know, they don't shave during the playoffs because
right.
otherwise they might lose, you know.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
It works for every team.
Yeah. Yeah. And one team, you know, called it right, didn't they?
Which is great. Yeah. But I love how he says that, the angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, right? So it's an angel of God. You know, he makes that direct claim that.
Yeah, and Paul, I believe an angel spoke to Paul. I believe this is completely true.
Yeah.
But I believe that they're just grasping at anything that's going to save them.
Yeah.
Because a little bit later on, they're going to try to get off that ship. And Paul says, you can't. You better not.
Yeah. So when the 14th night had come, this is verse 27, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might have run aground on some rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come, or prayed for death to come, if you're Klingon or not. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. Not a popular move, Paul.
No. And the sailors were going to sneak off the ship.
Yeah.
Maybe there wouldn't have been the ship for the boats wouldn't have been there for the soldiers anyway. But to cut your lifeboats away, like, you know, I wouldn't have had that much faith in Paul.
Yeah.
To cut those lifeboats. I'd have been jumping on with the soldiers and saying, you know. And because they want to kill the prisoners anyway in a minute. So it's just an oddity of the whole story, right?
Yeah. Gotta love it, right?
Yeah.
We'll kill you tomorrow, but for now, we're right with you.
Well done, Wesley. I can kill you in the morning.
Yeah. Sleep well. verse 33. As the day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food and have taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. And they were encouraged and ate some food themselves. There were in all 276 persons in the ship, by the way. Yeah. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Oh, we still had some wheat.
Well, they did, but they were glucose intolerant.
That's right.
So, but Paul says to them, like he says, you know, at this point in time, take some food. Notice he says, not a hair of your head will perish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we know that that's not true. Because, you know, most of us lose a lot of hair every day.
Right.
So we know that really what he's saying is you're going to survive. And the only reason I say that is because people sometimes, they really push scientific literacy on things of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And you got to allow language to be language, right? So when he says not a hair of your head or perish, he's not, somebody can't say, well, the Bible's wrong because, you know, of course some of their hair perished.
Right.
He was just saying, hey, all 276 of you are going to survive this.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
Yeah. He's using a common idiom of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the mustard seed thing. Well, yep. There are seeds smaller than the mustard. Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
It's not what he was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. The book is not trying to make a scientific claim there, so
Leave
it alone.
Yeah, like relax a little bit with this stuff.
Yeah. Verse 39, folks. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, and at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. Like, they clearly.
They're not doing well.
Yeah, they? Nothing is going to go right for these guys. Yes. Oh, and the boat was named the Minnow, by the way. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered that those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. So it was that they were all brought safely to land.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, and they all made it. They all made it to the island of Malta. And it's an intriguing thing that I've heard about this and about the Greeks and others, that there were sailors that didn't know how to swim. And you would think that every sailor would know how to swim. Mm-hmm. But they suggested that they, or at least the soldiers on board didn't know how to swim. Or maybe right. Sailors did know and others didn't. But you think that anybody that lives near the sea knows how to swim. But
yeah.
Yep. Not an important point, just a point.
It's a point. It's a good point.
It's a point.
All these years I didn't even know it was Malta, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So, all right. So, turn over to 28 now, folks. Here we go. After we were brought
to... Do you know of Malta? Is that what
I've never been there, no, but I just didn't know it was
Malta. We should go.
We should, like a field trip.
Yes.
Like an apocalypse field trip. Here we are.
If any of our readers want to get together, we could take them on a field trip.
Yes. We could be like Rick Steves, the guy from PBS, showing people.
Yeah.
This is the thing in Malta that you didn't know about. This is the other thing in Malta you didn't know about.
That none of us knew about until we saw
yes.
this.
Yes, here's a lovely place to eat in Malta.
Yeah. And these are the 50 caliber guns on the island of Cyprus that the peacekeepers are using.
Yeah.
They did not have them back then.
Yes.
I guess we better press on here, Steve.
Yes. Oh, sorry. I got lost. I was about to bring up other things. Yeah. After we were brought safely through, we learned that the island was called Malta. Who knew? The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all. Because there's 276 of them, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it began to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on a fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand, i.e. bit him. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, for he escaped from the sea. Justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god.
Interesting, isn't it? And this isn't the only place that makes certain groups of Christians pick up poisonous snakes and things. To prove that they can, because there's another place in Scripture that speaks of that as well.
Right.
But this is also a piece of that idea.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Which actually, wasn't there a church in Texas that had that part of their services?
Yes. Yes. And someone died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius. Who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. And they honored us greatly when we were about to sail, and they put on board whatever we needed.
Yeah, and honored us greatly. Like, you think that means they treated us really well, but it also means they gave us and they even say it here, they gave us stuff. But to be honored meant they gave them a lot of cash.
Mm.
And they gave them things that they needed. It's where we get our word honorarium from.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, what a thing, right? You know, for Paul we can say fortuitously, but actually God directed it, of course, that they land here and Paul heals all these people and all this stuff happens. The gospel is spread yet again. So.
And yeah, and oddly enough, I don't know if they've mentioned that here, but they will right away.
Okay. Verse 11. After 3 months, we set sail on a ship.
Let's just say. Notice that, Steve? It's after 3 months. So things don't happen like they do. You know, you don't jump back in the car and, you know, an hour and a half later, you're in Calgary.
Right.
It's you spend 3 months here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
No, that's good. After 3 months, we set sail on a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, another one, with the twin gods as the figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days.
You know what's weird, Stevie? Mm. In the other version I read, it mentioned who the twins were.
I think it says it right here, does it not?
The twin gods. Yeah.
See, footnote D.
Yeah. It'll say Castor and Pollux, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Which I believe they had a comic book, wasn't it? Oh, that was Asterix and...
Yeah, that's right. weren't Castor and Pollux the two with the wolf?
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
You know your mythology.
I'm hoping I do, because if I'm wrong, then we just look like fools. But I'm pretty sure that's right with Castor and Pollux. Anyway.
No one's going to fact check that. At Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came to Puteoli. That's what I'm calling it.
I let go with it, Stevie.
Yeah, let's go with it.
I've lost you somehow.
Really?
Where are you?
I'm right here. As long as you can
hear. I'm back.
Okay. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. So we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they had heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. I'll keep going. After 3 days.
I don't know what else to say.
No worries.
Except that Paul is now in Rome.
Yeah.
And this is where they wanted him to be. And I was reading about Castor and Pollux.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I thought I'd give you a chance to actually jump in there if you want to.
Yeah. So his friends are coming to see him and the gospel's going forth. Keep going now.
Yeah. It's all good. And what's really cool is that there's already brothers there that he can already commune with too.
Brothers from the house of Caesar, some of them too. Remember?
Interesting. Yeah. So verse 17, after 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I've asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are with regard to this sect that we know that everywhere is spoken against." "With regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." Right. Finally got it. "And when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and in turn I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.' And he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance."
So you see how Paul ends up in Rome. And this thing finishes the way it started. He brought the gospel to the Gentiles, and he was able to preach Christ with boldness for the 2 years he was there without any hindrance. Mm-hmm. And so the way the book starts, the motion of the gospel, and it ends here with Paul preaching the gospel from Rome for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then he's killed. As far as we know, he dies in Rome.
Okay.
And Castor and Pollux, by the way, the two under the wolf are Romulus and Remus, not Castor and Pollux.
Right.
Remember that, right? And
yes.
Castor and Pollux were the sons of Zeus, and they were sailors. So sailors use them, you know, to protect
their ships. Makes sense. Yep. Now, what are some other? There's some other theories about what happened to Paul that are not quite as credible. Like he made it to Spain. Is there anything else?
Yeah, the only thing that the only one that I ever really stay with is that he went to Rome and that's where he died. So I don't know about the other stuff, Stevie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And would that be he died at Caesar's hand or died of?
He was killed there. Paul was killed there.
Yeah.
That's the way I've always taken it. Yeah. In the early 60s.
Mm. Okay.
And they were the time of love and you know.
It was Woodstock in Rome.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix played the Colosseum.
but he did it on a violin, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, broke the violin on the stage, don't get me wrong. He was still Hendrix.
Well, and that just has to be.
Yeah. So. But yeah, no, it's just, okay, I've always been, it's always a fascinating way to end the book, right? It's just like, yep, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ, boldness without hindrance.
Luke, and that's all Luke wants to say is that's how he finishes. And that's again why some people think like that he doesn't take it right to his death is because he intended this. But then why have a capsule saying that he was lived there for 2 years?
You know, yeah.
Preaching. And why did he wait 2 years to see? Here, I'll just read this to you. Paul's death is unknown, but tradition holds that he was beheaded in Rome and thus died as a martyr for his faith. His death was perhaps part of the executions of Christians under Nero around 64 AD.
Okay. And was Nero already Caesar at this point?
Yeah.
Okay, so by the time Paul arrives in Rome, Nero's already Caesar. Okay.
Yeah. Nero's the emperor at this point. And, okay. And remember all the crazy stuff with Nero that even the Romans talked about. Tacitus would talk about Nero's parties and burning Christians at the stake as candles in his parties and things. Mm-hmm. Whether Nero did this stuff or not, I don't know, but they certainly suggested that he did.
Yeah. Okay.
Caligula was also just nuts. I mean, some of the Roman emperors were just crazy people.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, who knew? Power could do bad things to people. There's a shocker.
I think we've heard something about that before.
Yes.
But Paul, who served God his whole time, and remember, like for Paul to die, he thought about dying a lot of times, even through the book of Acts.
Right.
When he was in Corinthians and in some of his other books, he said, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would go to be with God.
Yeah.
If I had my choice, I would go. I'm staying alive for your sake.
Yeah, I'd rather depart than have to put up with this.
Yeah. And you know, which of us doesn't feel that from time to time?
Yeah, true that, right?
Yeah.
True that. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's the end of the book of Acts.
Okay, folks. Hey. So, as Larry just said, we're at the end of Acts. So, we might take a week off as we try to figure out kind of where we're going to head to next. We might come back next week. I don't know. But this might be a little break. And we'll come back in either 1 week or 2 weeks' time with a brand new podcast and a brand new book that we'll start working on. And we'll just look forward to you joining us then. Until next time, I'm Steve. He was Larry. And he still is Larry. And this was the Apocalary Podcast.